Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 10 November 2025. Boy, you're in for a lineup this week on guests. Tonight, we're going to talk to Dr. Toby Watson. We're going to discuss the poisoning of people's minds with psychiatric drugs. What's it doing to young people and actually older people also. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation. And if you're out there tonight and you give your child a mind-altering drug, please pay attention. Please. Tomorrow night we're going to talk to Kevin Annett. I think that's how I pronounce it, Annett. We're going to discuss child sacrifice and what they're really doing behind the scenes. You don't want to miss that either, okay? Before we go there, though, tonight, don't forget this weekend, Lord willing, weather permitting, we're going to have Bible study. It's going to be another great teaching. I know that for a fact. Another hour of Christian worldview news in line with prophecy. You might want to join us if you can at all. You folks will watch us live. We do appreciate it. Those that watch us recorded later on in a replay, thank you so much for doing that. I pray we're blessing you. I pray that we're helping you understand a few things happening in the world. This week's lesson is going to be entitled Weeping in Babylon. Weeping in Babylon. You understand by telling me to get to it. So join us if you can. Go to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com, and click on Rumble at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, and there will be. First half hour is always prayer requests and praise reports, and I hope you join us on that. But 11:30, 12:30 is Christian Worldview News, not ABC, CBS, NBC, Christian Worldview News. Then from 1 o'clock, 2 will be Bible study, Weeping in Babylon. You may not want to miss that if you can help it at all. Also, James McCanny said to please let y'all know he still has a few whole house water filters left. Folks, it is a buy beyond belief. The regular price is $14.99, and the price is going to be $19.99. pretty soon because of what's costly, everything shipped in the country. Right now, the whole house water filter that you can install for your handyman, if not, you may have to hard get it done. The whole house purify your drinking water, your shower water, everything, $6.99, and that's delivered price. The regular price is $14.99. It's going to be it'll be $2,000 soon because everything's going up, folks. I mean, the tariffs are hurting the American people big time. But right now, if you call right away, it's $6.99. You can call tomorrow and tell Faith what you want at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Or if you can call long distance, please, if you can, use that, because it does save us money on a toll-free number. It saves, you use a toll-free number, it does cost us money. So if you can do the long distance, it's okay. 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Call tomorrow and order the water filters. Call and ask any questions. Order if you need some flavor toothpaste, mouthwash, or you need some Strauss products, whatever it may be, please feel free to call them, all right? Now, guest tonight, it says Dr. Toby Watson. This man is talking about dangerous psychiatric medication and the rise of violence and how to go together. So I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about him. I'll let him tell you by himself. And Dr. Toby, you there?
Yes, I am. Nice to hear your voice, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And please, please, like I said, make yourself at home tonight. We have a lot of people listening around the world. A lot of people will be listening on repeat broadcast. But you enjoy yourself, make yourself at home, and share what's on your heart. Before we get started on what you want to talk about, tell the folks who Dr. Toby Watson is.
Sure. I'm a clinical psychologist licensed here in the great state of Wisconsin, and I have many other states that I've got an interstate compact with. I do quite a bit of concierge consultative work around the country, helping people often get off psychiatric medications and figure out what's really going on. I am a former disability evaluator, where I used to do that with people going on disability. I ran a free clinic here in my hometown in Wisconsin, a doctoral training program and a day treatment for many years. For a little while, I was, for a few years, the chief psychologist or one of the chief psychologists for the state of Wisconsin Department of Corrections. So I ran a prison system and then was a training coordinator for the whole state. I testify, on psychotropic medication outcome studies. I've given testimony to the FDA numerous times. In fact, helped with getting black box warning labels added to a certain type of antidepressant, indicating that these are some of the most dangerous drugs that you can be prescribed, ones that will cause suicidal ideation, actual suicide, aggression, and even homicide, now that we recognize that. And I've also given testimony related to ECT, what we call electroconvulsive therapy or shock therapy. I've helped with legislation in Ireland, Australia, Mexico. I was an invited speaker down there in Mexico twice, once to their Congress, once to their Senate, talking about children's mental health and psychotropic medication-induced violence and specifically shooting, school shootings.
Well, Dr. Toby, I'll ask you a quick question, please. Just a quick question, if you don't mind. Are the drugs as prevalent in Mexico as they are in the U.S.?
No, they're not. And that was the reason they had me come down, because they had funding allocated for children's mental health. And if I remember right, it was like $200 million. And immediately the drug companies were salivating, trying to get that piece of action. And one of the congresswomen was smart enough to say, hey, you guys got kind of an epidemic up in the United States with all these school shootings and your mental health. And maybe we should have you come down and talk about, some of this and put the brakes on it. So that's what I did. I pulled the data and gave a talk on their national TV to the president, to everybody, and their health ministry, talking about, the research that really shows that when you take these type of psychotropic medications, it doesn't lower suicide, it increases suicide. And what we're finding now is it increases violence to a very, very scary degree, for that matter.
Well, you mentioned school shootings. Is it a fair statement to say that almost every shooting has been done by an individual that's on these drugs?
Absolutely. If you pull the last, let's say, 40 school shootings, you'll find that literally everyone except for maybe one or two we know have been either just started taking a psychotropic med, just stopped taking a psychotropic med, or were currently on a psychotropic med known to cause suicidal ideation, aggression, irritability, kind of a depersonalization, what Dr. Peter Bregan, a Harvard psychiatrist friend, would call a spellbinding effect. that kind of emotional numbing. And then you add mania to it, and, you know, kind of a lack of empathy, and you create the perfect, you know, little walking zombie that'll sit and shoot and do very inhumane things. And I think what you have to remember is that, you know, we as human beings were created in God's image, and we are perfect in that sense. And yes, we do have times where we feel incredibly sad or we feel incredible joy. And we have to be able to accept all of our humanity. If I can cry at a baby being born, I have to cry at somebody being, you know, mean to me or like somebody dying. And when we try to cut off that part of our humanity and say, well, I don't like the sad parts, I just want to get rid of it, and we take a drug to artificially get rid of that, well, we really cut off part of our humanity. And so don't be surprised that we do inhumane things. You know, we cut off part of our humanity and we become less human. So we act inhuman. We act like the animals. And so that's what happens. You get people who do very animalistic type things in a very violent way. We know there's research to even support this, that if you take antidepressant medication and commit suicide, the way that you commit suicide is much more violent than if you weren't taking the antidepressant to begin with.
Wow. Well, now this may be a little bit off topic, but does ADHD have a lot to do with drugs, like different drugs, like maybe not this, these necessarily, but different drugs or vaccines? Does that become a part of that also?
If you're talking about, if I heard you correctly, you asked about ADHD type medications,
right,
which are the stimulants.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, stimulant medications like ADHD medications, I mean, there's, about 40, 50 international drug warning, you know, labels on the US and UK, Canada, talking about that these drugs cause mania, psychosis, death, hallucinations, violence, seizures, you know, obviously the suicide, and it's addictive, obviously, because it's a class 2 narcotic, a lot of these stimulant medications. This is in the same category as fentanyl and some of these other very addictive drugs, though obviously the heart problems as well. And they don't tell you that, you know, like mania, if you're on a stimulant medication, upwards of 4%, you know, roughly 5% of them become manic after a year. And that's cumulative. So after, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you've got a really good shot of your little boy or little girl starting to develop, you know, mania, which is that just an incredible bout of energy. And so the doctors will often then say, oh, we misdiagnose. Your little boy or girl's not ADHD or ADD. They're bipolar. And then all of a sudden they now start treating it for bipolar.
My.
Not recognizing it's really the medication that's actually causing the problem to begin with.
Then they change the medicine from one to another, just as equally as bad as the first. And they just keep swapping around. No wonder their mind's messed up. And what would you add to all that medication and then social media on top of that, and all the cell phones and all the other things they live on and what they watch? It's no wonder that we have a suicide rate growing in teenagers and murder rates.
Well, it's the second. Yeah, you know, the suicide rate is the second leading cause of death in our youth. Now, that should scare everybody. You know,
absolutely.
And when you get more problems, like in the LGBTQ community, there was a study that was done in 2024. 40% of them considered suicide seriously. 40% of the LGBTQ community. And with transgender individuals, you know, the people, you know, gender dysphoria, the boys that say, oh, I'm a girl, and then they're indulged in the girls and vice versa, it's even higher. So we know that that is a serious, serious problem, because it's, you know, double, you know, the normal rate of just kids, you know, struggling with normal type things. You know, the United States is spending $200 billion a year on mental health. You know, it's more than any true medical specialty, you know, in the United States. We've got roughly 1 in 5 Americans right now taking a psychiatric drug. Just think of that. 1 in 5 are taking a psychiatric drug. And with kids, you know, it's sometimes even higher than that. If a child goes to a medical doctor for any reason, like anything, 1 out of 10 is walking out with a psych drug. And 25% that get that psych drug don't even have a mental health diagnosis. You know, and the psychiatrists aren't the problem, because they're not the ones writing the prescriptions. It's only about 10%. It's the general practitioners and the pediatricians. And keep in mind, general practitioners, the average study, again, this is all based on research, a study showed that the average general practitioner gets about 30 hours of training in psychopharmacology and psychiatric meds. So a long weekend, and they're writing out 90% of all these, and we're talking trillions of dollars have been written out, billions every year. It's just absolutely profitable. It's a wonderful market for them, horrible for patients, and horrible for our mental health here in America.
Do you think that this is money motivated for the doctors on up to the pharmaceutical companies? Is it all money motivated?
The start is absolutely 1,000% money motivated. Again, drug companies are in the business to make money and to their shareholders. And although they say, oh, we're here to help, they've not cured anything. Well, first of all, you can't cure mental quote-unquote illness because it's a metaphorical illness. It's like having a sick fiscal policy. You know, there's no lab test. There's no chemical scan test that they can do. There's no brain scan they can do. We've never found a gene. We've never found a combination of genes for any mental health disorder ever in the history. We've been looking for, 80 years now, I guess, with these types of scans and labs and blood work. So, they often theorized that's what it was because they said, hey, you know what? I feel depressed. I take a drug. It increases serotonin, a neurochemical in our brain, and I start to feel better. Ergo, maybe I had too little. And that's where the theory really came about. But they disproved that theory decades ago. And, don't take my word for it, but again, Ron Pies, Dr. Pies, was the editor and chief editor in Psychiatric Times, one of the biggest journals in the world for psychiatry. And he came out years and years, actually over a decade, and said the chemical imbalance theory was, really just an urban legend, and nobody really took it seriously, except for another study that said that nearly 80% of all Americans believe that it's due to a chemical imbalance. And that's not just one. Thomas Insull, the director of the National Institute of Mental Health, the biggest, largest funding agency in the world for mental health, NIMH, he came out and said, we're not even going to use the DSM, which is the book we use for diagnosing, because it lacked validity and there's no objective laboratory measure, meaning that there's nothing that you can do to actually say who, quote unquote, has or meets the criteria for ADHD and who doesn't. It's very, very subjective. And I think the public really needs to become aware. Your audience really needs to become aware. It doesn't mean that little Billy or Sally or whomever is hurt, that the symptoms aren't real. Of course, people get very sad. They get suicidal. People, hear things and see things, like when we label them schizophrenia. People clearly struggle. That's not what we're debating. We know people struggle. What we're saying is that there's never been ever something found that says that the chemicals in your brain caused it or a bad gene caused it. Now, that's not to say it doesn't run in families. We know that it runs in families, but being Catholic runs in my family, or the way I mash potatoes, I do it like my dad and his dad and his dad. And just because it runs in a family doesn't mean it's genetic. It's things that are being passed down from generation to generation.
It's being taught. It's being taught. I mean, I went to school a long time before you did, but we didn't have ADD or ADHD in the schools, at least nothing I ever noticed. I always called LDD, lack of discipline disorder.
They call it 2x4 therapy too. You stand in the back room with a 2x4 and smack it on the table, and every kid will stop instantly from fooling around.
They do. I mean, I was reared in a loving home. I had a great mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An acquaintance
nonsense wouldn't put up with. I mean, nonsense in our home was not allowed.
Yeah, an acquaintance friend of mine, Alan Francis, Dr. Francis, he was the chairperson of the DSM-4. So again, this book that we use for diagnosing, it's called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And he was the guy in charge. He was the chairperson of the DSM-4. And we're on number 5 now. And he wrote a book called Saving Normal. And he very clearly outlined, and in lectures, I've had him lecture at one of our conferences, that these mental illness, quote unquote, labels are terribly misleading because the diagnosis is no more than a description of what we can just observe. It doesn't establish any disease. It's subjective. And he said we really should be writing all these diagnoses in a pencil because it changes. It can change from week to week. It could even change from day to day, for that matter. And we're not being told. What we're telling kids and what we're telling the public is that you have a mental illness. It's a lifelong disease. It's due to a chemical imbalance or a brain deficit of some sort, and you got to be on medications for life. And every one of those statements is absolutely a false statement. And I can come out and publicly state this because I do it in court, and I've been doing it for 20-plus years, and I've never been sued, and I've never been discredited, and my testimony's never been thrown out. Why? Because everyone knows it to be true, except it's not being told to the public. And that's the challenge.
Well, you know, the Bible, and I've been preaching for 50 years, as I do try to live by Scripture, the Bible tells us the rebellion is born in the heart of a child, and it's a rod reproof, will drive it out of him. I mean, they need discipline. That's part of it. But it's also spiritual. I mean, with today's society, we see so many things that are totally immoral, so evil, and it affects young people's minds, too, that it's in front of them all day long. TVs, movies, cell phones, it's in front of them all day long. Anything they want to see. So that also affects them. It can be spiritual, and that's And drugs don't take care of spiritual problems. They may dumb them down and numb them down, but it doesn't cure the problem. So you're looking at this from a viewpoint of discipline and spirituality and society, the parents raising a child as it should be raised. So you're hitting the nail right on the head, Dr. Toby. You really are, and you're uncovering an awful lot of evil being done to children. Well, not just children, but main topic is children tonight, evil being done to children. It's actually child abuse, is it not?
I believe it is actually child abuse, without question. And you're exactly right. You know, I gave a talk with Charlie Kirk right before, his murder. And Charlie and I talked about this. And in my world in particular, talking about medications, so there's research that even shows that medication actually impacts one's spirituality and belief in God. There's emotional blunting that happens when you go on a medication. You start to feel disconnected from yourself and others. You end up having often a decrease in hope because, you know, that kind of is a key component to that. And then, the spiritual practice. You know, you end up, medication interferes with that to engage in spiritual practices. At least that's what they say in the social engagement. And again, don't blame me for the one reporting this. This is based on the research. This is what people are reporting when they go on these types of medications and they have these types of problems. But you're exactly right that you're highlighting the fact that you really what you're saying is, okay, well, if it's not a chemical imbalance, and if it's not genetic, and if it's not a brain deficit, then what is it? Why do we have these problems? Why do we have such high rates of kids in the United States spending all this money, and it's not getting better? You know, and here's what it is. One, we don't have the intact mother and father dyad anymore. We're not having fathers in a lot of these homes. We have, you know, in the inner city and African-American community, you got upwards of 80% of the fathers not in the home. And that absolutely, you know, causes a void where these kids then get into, you know, other gangs and they start looking for other father figures. And then you end up, you know, having them with general problems, which then you have confusion in the gender roles in society. What is a woman? You know, what's toxic masculinity? And all these questions that kids start to struggle with. And you look at that, and you look at also then, you know, these surveys where kids and teens are indicating half of the kids reported that their parents overlooked key milestones in their life, their birthdays, their puberty, you know, things of that nature. Half of them are saying that, hey, my parents just weren't attentive. They just weren't there. And so you add that then to the rites of passages. Because again, as a child, we used to have a lot of rites of passages. You know, you'd get confirmation. You know, you would go to certain, you know, other events, you know, awards and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Now, you know, they're like, hey, we can't even have boys by themselves because the girls have to be allowed and vice versa. So instead of having these rites of passages, kids are making up their own rites of passages. They're starting to drink and use drugs and have sexual rites of passages. And so when you add all these things together, along with what you said, you know, now you've got the bullying that happens on social media. You have a distorted view of the world on social media, because think of it this way. Your kids, you know, back in the day when we were kids, you know, everybody was about the same boat. We lived in a certain neighborhood. Everyone had the same house, the same kind of bikes, the same kind of cars. Everybody kind of had the same kind of job. I mean, there was always one or two that maybe did a little successful here, or maybe that was a little poorer there. But for the most part, we were in this, you know, in this mixing bowl together. Now, with the internet and the media, what you see is glorified narcissism and ego, where the idealization of wealth and beauty and fake boobs and muscles, and they do that comparative analysis, and now it's not so close anymore. Now I feel less than. Now is when, you know, envy, again, those seven deadly sins kick in, where I start to be envious of what I see, and it's in my face every day. And so you really, you know, struggle, and society is struggling with that. I went to Ecuador, and I was helping with building a school, and we were kind of clear-cutting the area and teaching them how to, like, farm and stuff. This was many years ago. And they had just got electricity about 2, 3, 4 years before I got there. And I went to this little village, Misawazi, and then to the little outskirt there. And it was interesting what I found. I went there, and they had a hut. This family was living in a hut, upraised above the ground. And when I looked in, they had electricity strung on from one, you know, tree to another. They had one light bulb, which, you know, the government gave them. And they gave them a TV and a little satellite because they wanted to educate the community, the whole country, which was a brilliant idea. Except the kids were sitting there and they were watching MTV Cribs, which is a show where they highlight very famous people in music with their homes and these massive, you know, 20, 40, $100 million homes. And I thought for a moment to myself, I said, what are these kids thinking right now as they look at the TV and they're living in a hut with no windows, no doors, in poverty, although it's normal for them compared to their all the neighbors and stuff like that. But they see this, you know, extreme wealth that they could never imagine because they had no reference. But now they have a reference. You know, you're only sad because, or I should say, people only know they're sad when they're, because there's a happy to compare it to.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Kind of the morality of it. You know, it's like, how do you know, you're doing wrong? Well, because the Bible tells us and you have kind of some reference. Well, if you don't have a reference of what real wealth is, you know, it's variable, it's subjective. But now they've got that. And I think that combination, and like you said, the internet games with violence and sex and all the things that go with it. The problem is that society is not serving the function of children. Children are serving the function of society. Children are serving the function of the school. The school is not serving the function of the kids. Unfortunately, kids are serving the function of divorced parents or separated parents. We're not serving kids anymore. And our kids are little tadpoles. They are little prophets. They are the most vulnerable, and they're the ones that tell us right off the bat when something's not right. If you go to African tribes, there's a lot of tribes in Africa that will often, when one tribal leader goes to the next tribe, they'll say the first question is, how are the children? Because they know the first thing, if they say the children are good, then they know that the whole, you know, society, the whole group, the whole village is good. Because if the kids are not doing well, they know something's not wrong in their ecosystem. And I tell people this, if you go to a river and you see a little tadpole, and that little tadpole has four arms or, you know, like five eyeballs or something weird, you don't blame the tadpole, you don't drug the tadpole, you look upstream and you say, what is toxic in this tadpole's life?
Yeah,
and unfortunately,
right.
What we're doing is we're diagnosing kids, we're drugging kids, and we're blaming kids, and then we're saying, oh, you know, it has nothing to do with all of the other things going on in our life. And I think we seriously need to make some changes. And I think that's why, you know, President Trump, in February of 2025,
Don't lose that thought, okay? Don't lose that thought.
Okay.
Get a break.
Yep, go right ahead.
Don't lose that thought. Folks, back at the break with phone calls, questions, comments, whatever, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All right, folks, let's jump right back in. We got so much to talk about, and the phone lines are open. You'll call me, Tyler, tell me you're on there, and we'll get to you in just a few minutes, I promise, at 717-300-1698. Now, you're making a point right before we went to break, Dr. Toby. Go ahead and finish that point off.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I think that the government, United States, you know, Donald Trump, our president, and RFK are recognizing we've got a serious problem here. In February 2025, he gave an executive order calling Make America Healthy Again. And the key directive was, hey, we need to assess specifically, it said, prevalence of and the threat posed by SSRIs, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, and stimulant meds, all these drugs that we're giving our kids. And he established a committee to investigate it and said, hey, let's take a look at this because they know. Again, there's enough data out there to say, look, these drugs are not helping. Maybe in the short term, there may be some benefit. But in the long term, we're getting more disabled, more depressed, more anxious, more aggressive, more sad, more suicides, more, you know, homicides. And the courts are recognizing it. I mean, I've been involved in cases, and there's court cases where they're saying, yeah, the drugs cause this person, again, a person who never had violence, never would be violent, go on a medication, and all of a sudden they end up killing somebody, a family member or multiple family members. And this is the challenge that we're facing, and we've really got to get the word out and start making some changes of how we're treating people. A friend of mine was in charge of the American Psychological Association, Peter Cummings. And Dr. Cummings, he did a study in 1990 where he said, you know, how many people are getting a mental health referral? So if you go into a doctor, how many were getting referred to a specialist, like a psychologist or counselor or somebody? And it was 90%, and only 10% got put on medication. And he replicated that study in 2000. And in 2000, what do you think it was? It was the exact opposite. It was 10% got a referral to a specialist, and 90% just got put on medication. And you know what? We saw the destruction of that, and that was what happened in New America.
Are doctors getting a kickback on those drugs?
So that's, you know, back in the day, the way that they did it, yes, that's stopped, and they say it's unethical, but there's ways around it. And the ways around it is they can often get an influential doctor in an area and say, hey, we've got this article that we wrote with some data. We'd like you to look at it, and we'd like you to co-author it, and we'll pay you a stipend, and we're going to put your name on it, you know, and you can change it. You can edit and do what you want. It's called ghostwriting. And then they look at it, and they say, oh, yeah, this looks good, and this looks data looks good, and they made a little few changes, and boom, it gets published, and they get a big stipend. And then, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, we noticed that, you know, you really like using this particular medication. We'd like you to, you know, host a talk, and we're going to pay you all this money. Oh, it's going to be in Maui, or it's going to be in, you know, Las Vegas, or it's going to be... So there's certain ways of doing it that way. Back in the day, they used to buy furniture and do all sorts of different things for doctors, and they've kind of curbed that a bit. But there's certainly a way to do it. The other problems, too, is that certain clinics, like with the vaccines and things, absolutely got paid. And they would get just actual, you know, they don't call it a bonus, but they'd get paid just to make sure that they got more people vaccinated, or if they got a whole entire clinic vaccinated.
COVID proved that big time. And by the way, we're bouncing around here, running out of time, but what is electroshock therapy? What do they do to somebody with electroshock?
Sure, yeah. So ECT, or shock therapy, you know, is where they basically put electrodes on on your head, and they put electricity that runs right through from one electrode to another. And the idea, in theory, is that you're really burning the neurons. So you're basically damaging your brain, but for the benefit of not having the symptoms. And obviously, you can imagine it is barbaric, but it does work, because, again, you're severing neurons. So you might say, hey, I don't feel depressed. Or maybe you'll say, hey, I don't hear voices anymore. Whether the conditioning, you know, if you're diagnosed with schizophrenia and you're going through that trauma of being forced to do it, you would say, no, I don't hear it, even when you do. And for the people who really say, hey, I feel better, well, yeah, of course. The challenge is that you have upwards of 50% of the patients have memory loss. You know, retrograde memory loss, which is you may lose large portions of your memory. Like, hey, I don't remember, you know, 10 years of my life. Or in the case of, I remember an architect that came to see me on disability. He was an architect and had ACT and forgot how to turn on a computer. Like, literally could not work a computer. And so that's the biggest challenge. And the other challenge is it doesn't last. Because, again, what happens to neurons if you sever them, if you cut them? Well, they grow back. So I would say it this way. If you have a soul and you have a brain and you have this part of your life where you have, hey, I feel bad, I feel sad, I have these reasons for it. Maybe I can't quite figure it out, but I know it's there. It's in my brain. I got 100 billion neurons with 10,000 interconnections on each neuron. And I sever that, you know, with just some electricity running through. Well, the voice of God, the voice of your soul, your pain, it wants to be heard. It wants validation. And just because you cut it off one part of your brain to the other doesn't mean it's just gone. It means it's going to come back in some way, shape, or form. And that's exactly what happens, typically 6 months. So about 6 months, all of a sudden it goes back, and you're right back where you started, which is why then they say, oh, you've got to do maintenance ECT, where they're saying, well, let's just do it again, and let's do it again, and let's do it again. But the problem is that you keep damaging your brain. And amnesia and memory dysfunction seems to be one of the really biggest effects to it. So, I mean, that's more of an effect than actually any sort of benefit to it.
We got calls coming in, but I want to ask one more question. We'll get the phone calls. When somebody sees this is not really helping it, and they want to take their children or anybody else off the drugs, how dangerous is that to take them off the drugs?
Starting a psychotropic medication And ending a psychotropic medication can be very, very dangerous. And I would tell your audience, don't just abruptly stop, don't just terminate, because, again, this is where people start to unmask the change to your brain that's occurred. Because, again, these medications are changing the neurochemistry, so they're either upregulating or making it go down. And if you, let's say, start on, like, an antidepressant, and it says, okay, I don't think you have enough serotonin, so it artificially raises serotonin. Well, your brain says, hey, I've got too much serotonin now because I'm taking this medication. So the brain starts to then stop producing the serotonergic system, or, you know, serotonin. So the problem is that, you know, when you stop taking the medication, you now unmask your newly regulated up or down neurotransmitter system. And that's where you go through a discontinuation syndrome. And so you crash. And this is what we often hear about, where a patient, you know, is on their antipsychotic and they're doing relatively okay, and then they just abruptly terminate, and then they do really bad and crazy things. It doesn't mean they need their medication. It just means that you got them addicted to it. And when you terminated it, they went through a withdrawal reaction and became very violent or dangerous or psychotic or sad or suicidal. And so when you do the changes, again, most doctors would say that you want to do that slow, and you want a tapering process. And there's very few protocols on how to do that. Drug companies will come up with lots of protocols to get you on the medication, but to come off, almost none, because they don't want people to come off. Again, this is, they're telling you it's a lifelong illness. Just stay on the meds for life. But again, research says the clinical trials have only been done typically maximum, like maybe 16 weeks. So you got people that literally are taking a drug for years or their whole life, and it's only been tested, you know, in a long-term sense on a clinical controlled trial for like 16 weeks for 4 months. We have no idea what's happening. Well, we do now, but they had no idea what was happening to the brain over the long term. So I would just say, again, keep looking for a doctor that's going to help you taper off. And if they say no, again, don't be surprised. They're going to be like very hesitant to do that. You got to be very clear. You've got to say, I want to find the lowest dose possible, maybe, and then try to keep going down, down, down slowly, and just say, I want a little lower, I want a little lower. And if you get off, great. And that might be the new, that might be the best thing, is just to say, I don't want to get off. I just want to find what's the lowest dose. What's the lowest dose I can survive, I can function, I can do well. And then find somebody who's really good at making those changes to, again, exercise. Look at what you're eating. You know, look at the stress levels that you have. Sure. Look at who's toxic in your life. All of these things that are going. Look at God in your life and, like, find out. I can tell you that one of the number one static. Yeah, one of them, the static variables is if you don't have God or a sense of spirituality in your life, I can tell you right away, that's the people who are going to have mental health issues. Like, without question.
I mean, without that anchor and hope, they're done. Yeah, let's go to Iowa.
Go to church again. Before you go
get in the scriptures.
Go to church.
Read the Bible. Start reading scripture. Read Psalms. Read Proverbs. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Again, I'm a Christian, but if I'm working with somebody who's Hindi and they've lost their faith, you know, in their religion, go back to that religion. You know, go back to the religion. Now, I would, you know, be a supporter of Christ, but, you know, I would tell you to go back to that religion. And then if you still don't find, you know, comfort, then maybe start looking elsewhere. Then maybe it's time to, you know, hey, come to Christ, come to a church. Again, the challenge that we're having now in America, which, again, is going to cause a whole host of new mental health problems, is we've got, you know, radical Islamists coming into America, combining with the transgender community, combining with radical social, experimentation, combining with communism and socialism. And those are all coming together. And they seem to form this weird group that's very powerful at influencing, you know, and really ultimately very has a lot of backing of Soros and others, whose really thought is to destroy the family unit, to destroy the spirituality, destroy the Judeo-Christian values that the American United States was built upon. And we're going to have a battle. We're in a war right now, and people need to realize it, that you've got to cling to your church, to your God, to your children, and protect as much as you can.
Well, this was all done on purpose, and New York City is in for a rough ride ahead, I'll tell you that. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Okay, I want to get off subject for just a minute and say happy birthday to all the Marines out there. This is the 250th year. Yeah, 250th year, and then to the veterans tomorrow. Thank you for your service. And God
bless you.
But this has become a generational thing, don't you think? Give it to one, then the next one just gets it. And what happened with the beginning where the parents agreed to give their kids some drug that was going to alter their brain?
What were they thinking? It had to start with a generation that had basically forgotten God, obviously. That happened several generations ago. Go ahead, Dr. Toby.
Yeah, and that's Janet or Janice, right?
Jan.
Hi, Jan. So you're exactly right. And here's what happens often is that when one parent is placed on psychotropic medications, they get a little bit numb. They're kind of living comfortably numb and uncomfortable, I guess. And when their child then starts to have problems, which, hey, not surprisingly, you have a parent now who is not emotionally and intellectually available to their child, so the child doesn't feel that empathic connection and that love. So now the child starts to struggle, and the parent is like, hey, well, I'm on meds. You should go on meds. And so you do find clusterization, and that's what psychiatrists often will talk about is that, you know, you'll have families starting to come in and they're all medicated. There's communities in the United States, and I kid you not, where the entire community is almost taking a psychotropic medication. And studies have shown this.
Wow.
Again, they've done surveys where the entire city is taking a medication. And then you go to the next city and nobody's almost taking it. And then if you go into the foster care system where they're the most vulnerable, you know, these Medicare, Medicaid, people, they often, you'll find clusters where, hey, 100% of the Medicaid kids and foster kids are taking these drugs. And interestingly, the most vulnerable and poor inner city black kids often are given higher doses and more medications. And they've done that comparative analysis where they'll take kids from suburban neighborhoods and compare their, you know, diagnoses to the inner city kids' diagnoses. So they kind of level out some of the symptomology. And yet the inner city kids that can't say no, they're drugged more medication and higher doses.
The same ones whose parents took all those illegal drugs are now getting drugs legally for the same reason.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Jan, because, you know, unfortunately, it was Bush Sr. Back in the day. He was sat on the board of Eli Lilly, and he legalized direct-to-consumer advertising, which was never allowed anywhere in the world because everybody knew if you advertise drugs directly to the public, everybody's going to say, oh, I got this disorder and I got that thing, and they're going to run to their doctors to get these drugs. Well, that's what he did, and profits rocketed, you know, thousands of percent up. Because everybody ran to the drug companies. And this was right on the heels of, you know, let's just say no to drugs. And that was the war on drugs. And they realized they couldn't win the war on drugs. And so there's, again, you go in the archives, you'll see all this, you know, freedom of information. You'll find that they strategically did this by design. They said, you know what? If they're doing cocaine and they're doing it, we can't stop this. Well, let's create our own cocaine. And so now we have it, Ritalin. Guess what? Class 2 narcotic looks like cocaine in every which shape, form, or fashion, other than it takes about 9 minutes to pass the blood-brain barrier. And they got everybody then put onto these legalized drugs. And they kind of started giving up their illegal drugs.
That's where they make the money. That's where they get it.
Yep.
Jan, anything else?
Yeah, they were like, hey, we can tax it, we can make money on it, and we can kind of have control of it.
Yeah, the government makes money, we'll make money. Yeah, sure. Anything else, Jan? Anything else?
It just says, just don't believe everything your doctor tells you.
Those ads that trust your doctor. Again, that was, again, a very good marketing ploy. And I would tell people, look, if you got a street drug dealer on the corner, they're not going to lie to you. They're going to say, hey, here's my drug. It's going to mess you up, and you're going to get addicted to it. And, hey, don't say you got it from me. And they'll be honest with you on it, and they know exactly what they're doing. But if you go to your, MD doctor, they're going to say, oh, no, this is safe. It's effective. Oh, you need it. Oh, no, you're going to be okay. So in that regard, the street drug dealer is more ethical than your MD.
Oh, wow. Good call, Jan.
Well, a lot
Jan,
of the MDs don't even realize it, you know.
No, they don't. I go to court quite a bit. I go to court quite a bit, and it's astounding to me to find out how many medical professionals don't know the things that I bring up in court.
We got to get another call on you. We're running out of time. Thank you, Jan. Let's stay right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Joe. Joe, come on in.
Thank you for taking my call, Butch. 5 years ago, my wife went through some pretty rough times, and she ended up in what they call a psych ward at a hospital. They loaded her down with every pill they could think of, and nothing changed her. What we were finding out is that she had a UTI infection. Is this very common with the seniors?
So, to answer your question, yes. So there's about maybe 10 studies that I will use sometimes in court that I say, if I go into any psychiatric hospital or any sort of a clinic, and I just look at the psychiatric patients there, and I pull all them out, and I give them a full gamut of different labs, and I give the blood tests, and I look for different types of infections and viruses. According to the research, on average, about 16 to 18% of the people have medical conditions that mimic psychiatric conditions. And when you treat the medical condition, lo and behold, there's no psychiatric condition. So that's about 1 in 6 to 1 in 7. So every 1 to 6 or 7 people, patients in a psych ward, really shouldn't be there. They're actually, they've got like a UTI infection or they got some sort of other medical condition going on. And so unfortunately, again, they're not doing an adequate job. So if somebody's out there and they're saying, hey, I'm really struggling with this, you're going to want to start looking at some of those medical conditions and say, hey, I need to be tested for this, Lyme's disease and all sorts of other things, hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism. And there's a whole long list. And when they do that, they're supposed to rule out all medical conditions, but they don't, because Occam's razor, they say, hey, it's probably a psychiatric condition. It's the most obvious. Let's just go with that. Well, 1 out of every 6 or 7 patients, unfortunately, are being mistreated.
But a simple blood test shows UTI. That's ridiculous. Anything else, Joe?
Yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes if the people in the psychiatric community have a tendency to cover things up because they weren't very honest with us. Because what my wife went through was living hell for us for like 10 months. And you see, it was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until we ended up going to someplace different. And then she started facing her fears, and that helped a lot, too. But I remember when she tried getting off the medication, she went psychosis. And that was a lot of the symptoms, same symptoms of a UTI infection, the delusion or illusions that she was having. So is it a lot of times in the medical field they try to cover things up just for profit?
Of course.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, when I get involved in a malpractice case, again, the way that you have to show that there's malpractice is you have to have another doctor say that it deviated from the standard norm. Well, the problem is that, you can find a lot of psychiatrists that'll just back each other and say, oh, yeah, that was norm. That was normal. That was
doctors
normal.
Doctors do the same thing.
Yeah, when I started, many decades ago, polypharmacy was pretty unheard of. They wouldn't, give you more than maybe 2 medications. But, I mean, I've seen patients on as many as 10, 12 medications at time. And it's absolutely unethical, and it's immoral. You have no idea. They have no idea what's going on after really 3 medications because the drug interactions are impossible to kind of figure out what's really happening. I'm glad that they figured out that it was a UTI because... you're right.
My attorney is the one who figured out it was a UTI. The medical people didn't. Mm-hmm. Even though they at times tried to treat it, but my attorney was the one who brought it up with UTI. I was the one who figured it out. They never did.
Right. Anything else, Joe? I got to jump. Anything else?
Yeah, just keep our spiritual house clean.
Amen.
And just keep looking towards Jesus. He'll take care of the problems.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. All right, let's stay right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chance. Chance, come on in. Got about a minute and a half here.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. Hello, Doc.
Hello.
Doc, in your estimation, I've noticed in the last, I would say, 25 to 40 years, there's a lot of violence and a lot of lack of empathy for other people. Now, in your estimation, would you say that's due to more of a certain kind of mental illness that's occurring? Or is it the prescription drugs or a combination of the both of them?
Or spiritual, yes, go ahead.
I believe that it is a combination, but I think the biggest factor is the medication. We have roughly, 20% of Americans taking a psychotropic medication, and these are medications that we know cause lack of empathy. They call that emotional numbing, And so I think we have a lot of people walking around that are intoxicated right now on these meds who really just don't have that empathic connection to other people. Now, having said that, absolutely, society has changed. You know, the internet has brought out a lot of the devil and the worst in us. We've seen it, we're more exposed to it. And keep in mind, we have a saying in neurology, neurons that fire together, wire together. So I'll say it again, neurons that fire together, wire together. Because if you get so used to seeing violence, it becomes not a big deal, and you're more likely to act out violence, and this is shown in research. If you're more likely to see and hear about suicide, same thing, not a big deal. We become numb to it. It's like, oh, not a big deal. You know, back in the 50s, it was a big deal, you know, when people would do something that was not okay. And now right. It's just like, everybody does that. So we have to kind of maintain our Christian values of saying, no, it's not okay to be doing these things. No, it's not okay to be telling little boys that they can be a girl or they can be a dog indulging. Again, when I talk about this to people, I'm like, you know, when a patient came in and they had, let's say, an eating disorder and they were really, you know, emancipated, they were really thin, and you would never say, oh, yeah, you're right, you know, you're not thin enough, you should stop eating. You would never do that to a patient. Why? Because you don't indulge the disorder. But yet, for some reason, you know, my field lost their mind. And they have, you know, young little boys or girls come in saying, oh, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. And I have this confusion, gender dysphoria. Yeah. And instead of then saying, okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about why don't you like being a boy? Why are you not wanting to be a girl? And to have these conversations and figure out what's really going on, they just indulge and say, oh, yeah, you're right. We can mutilate you and then cut your breasts off, or we'll cut off your penis. And it's absolutely abuse.
That's sad. I'm running out of time so quickly. Anything else, Chance, very quickly? Anything
else? No, that's it. Thank you, Dale.
All right, thanks, Cole.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks, Conan.
It. We're down about the last minute and a half here. Dr. Toby, I'm going to let you take it. How can folks find out more about you? What's your website? How can they contact you?
Sure, absolutely. So if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram, Dr. Toby, DrTobyWatson. I'm the only one out there, Dr. Toby. And if you want to look at any of this research I'm talking about, you're welcome to go to my website, which I'm slowly revamping, but it's DrTobyWatson.com. And you can find things about all the things that I'm sharing. I don't think I have a whole lot on transgenderism up there yet, but everything else. And, feel free to reach out to me if you need to do a consult. I'm overwhelmed typically, but I'm always trying to be out there for people. I donate a lot of my time, so even though I may charge a fee, I donate almost all of it back to charity. So I do this for... again, kind of a calling, and I really do feel like this is a calling. There's not too many people
Amen.
Out there like myself and Charlie Kirk that's willing to do it.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Toby, joining us tonight. I know you're busy. I know that for a fact, but you've been such a gentleman and a kind individual. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for sharing with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you. God bless.
I'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Take care.
God bless, my friend. All right, folks, I mean, what can you say? We have got, you as parents have got to get your children off those damnable drugs. Please don't do that to your child. Don't do it to yourself. You don't need them. They're not going to help you. Find balance in your heart with Christ above everything else. Find balance. It's there. And folks, listen, if I didn't know who Christ was, I'd probably be on drugs too again, because this whole world is going insane. Thank God for the heavenly drug that's given to me through Jesus Christ and his blood. I'll see you tomorrow night in a very important program. Kevin, Annette, y'all don't go away. See you there.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.